was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever used a squirt gun on a teacher. Today's title is Learning in a One-Room Corn Crib. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, and with me is the man who dots every I and crosses every T in communication. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at WKCTC, Jason Donner.
I never get tired of hearing all that, Brent. I really don't.
There are a lot of I's and T's in there.
Are you saying, though, the squirt gun on a teacher, is that like an old-timey way of being a bad kid at school?
Oh, definitely. And this kid was
water
the
gun
worst
action.
In the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, the main event will step into one of the first schools in Kentucky. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real. Only the sponsorship is fake.
Imagine being happy during change of life. Thousands of women now go smiling through those trying years without awful suffering from hot flashes. Science has exploded old myths about change of life. Countless women have found you no longer have to feel old before your time. Today you can enjoy change of life without that terrible suffering. Lydia Pinkham's remarkable tablets have been developed especially to relieve those functionally caused female miseries. Their unique combination of medicines even includes blood-strengthening iron. That's why with Pinkham's tablets, you can escape much of the hot flashes, clammy feelings, weakness, and irritability so common to women between 38 and 55. You're ready to start living again!
That one's radioactive, Jason. How about you handle
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay. Well, how do they know the date exactly? 38 to 55. I mean, you're just...
That's just about the time.
Honestly, it's hard for us to relate to this, but I guess it's 38. It could have... It's like a time bomb. You're just waiting for that to happen, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I don't believe a word of any of this stuff except for the iron.
Yes.
I know that that can make somebody feel better if they have an iron deficiency.
Right.
And maybe that's why they could have a response to it.
And I couldn't tell you if there are ads for this even now. I really don't know. But it's interesting to see some of these old personal type devices or medicines from that time. They went there. I mean, they didn't mind advertising for those personal things.
Yeah, I've seen things like that in modern times, but you don't think of back then that they would say it.
Yeah, you think of that time of being such a much more innocent time, and they wouldn't even broach these subjects. But, man, they're just ads for everything.
Yeah, especially maybe not the 1950s, but we know we've gone back to the 1860s,
yeah.
And it was surprisingly frank about some of those things.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. That was unique. I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, they come at you from all directions in the fake history sponsors for sure. And now the moment we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one. Education around 1800. The early 1800s, so up to 1809 or so is the time frame we're talking about here. This guy was the Reverend John Johnson. And he just wrote a memoir about what his life was like. And part
was
of that...
Was a teacher, you mean?
No, he was
or
a student.
Or just talking about his days as a student. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. This was what he did. And so he was a young student. This is his experience. He says, "Our first school in the Eddy Grove was taught by Brother Elijah in an old corn crib."
And that would be, I assume, where they kept the corn.
Yeah, it's a silo.
Right.
And you call it a corn crib.
Corn crib.
The crib was of logs, about 12 by 16 feet in size. That's a small room to be learning in, by the way. And it had been improved by having another log or two sawed out to enlarge the door, having the cracks chinked and pointed, that's log cabin stuff, and having a spacious wooden chimney with a fireplace about 10 feet long built at one end. Here Elijah agreed to teach 3 months, so that's the school term. What do you think about that?
Really? Okay. Well, when does that take place?
it's going to be, I don't know if they said the time of year or not. I suppose it's going to be when you are not doing some labor-intensive farm stuff.
Right. And they're just using whatever building that's available, not being occupied at the moment, right? That's why they're in the corn crib.
They don't have a school building.
Right.
They don't have an extra $63 million laying around just to build one out in the middle of the county somewhere. So, I mean, this is it. They're repurposing a corn crib to be the one-room schoolhouse. That's 100% right. Every child was to bring him a dollar in silver on the last day of school.
So what does that mean?
That's the payment.
That's his pay?
Yeah.
So the parents were on board to pay him that much.
And it's the honor
system,
too. At
the end of the 3 months.
Because you go ahead and teach them, and then you're expecting to be paid.
Yeah, that surprised me. That's on the last day.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe that's the trust back then in the community, something like that. Today, I don't think you would try it. Charge the tuition at the end of the semester.
Right, yeah.
See if that works. There were two seats, each running the whole length of the room, and both being formed of a log split open, the flat side being hewn or trimmed to something like a smooth surface, the round side having rough pegs stuck in for legs. Of course, they were without backs, so it's a big bench.
Yeah.
Is what he's describing.
Yeah, they just split a log in half and sit on it.
Yeah, except that they were placed against the wall. There were two or three stools also constructed in the same style. A large hewn slab about 2 feet wide by 6 feet in length, supported on huge pegs about 2 feet and a half in length, served as the general writing desk for all. So a great big cafeteria-style setup is what you are imagining in that scenario. This school, like in fact all that I ever attended, was what they denominated loud. And loud it undoubtedly was. So what do you think about that?
They must be just talking about the manner of teaching.
It'd be teaching, but it's also the students.
So students are allowed to be loud.
Apparently they are. Because if you remember back to elementary school, they didn't like it, but you were loud.
I remember
teachers constantly berated us for being loud and 5 minutes off recess, 10 minutes off recess.
Right.
Things like that. And it was the same thing way back then.
Seems like a stricter time, though. It seems like the teacher would be all-powerful.
Well, he is. And that's kind of another thing you'll be getting into. Every scholar studied at the top of his voice. Each one was seeming intent to excel his neighbor. And the result was a noise as of many waters that might at times be heard at the distance of half a mile.
Well, this sounds like they're deliberately then kind of studying vocally, like they're talking out loud.
Yeah, maybe they're running through spelling words or something like that.
Okay.
And then there's going to be some general conversation probably, and then you're going to hear, so you're getting louder. That's the scene. Or you've been in a lunchroom.
Yeah.
It's like a middle school lunchroom, and you know how loud those places are.
Right.
That's what this is too. But I soon became accustomed to the confusion and progressed so rapidly as to learn the alphabet, to spell pretty well, and to read a little in the Testament before the close of the session. So that's being used as a textbook.
Right, I would think. Yeah, that's the most likely readily available book that's there for them to learn from.
Yeah, that's true. There are not very many books back then.
Or maybe like a catalog, perhaps, they would have and read from.
A little bit later, you're going to see that. But it's the same kind of thing. What book is available?
Right.
Exactly right. An old man named Taylor taught us for a while, but he was not very highly esteemed. He was a good, mild, kind-hearted man, and his pupils did very much as they pleased. I never heard of his being aroused but once.
Okay.
So this is the nice teacher.
Yeah.
Everybody always says they want the nice teacher, and then when they get the nice teacher, it's chaos.
Right.
And that's exactly what he's describing.
So he's about to tell us the story about this teacher. The one time he really got mad.
Yep, there was the one time, one time he ever got upset, and that was this. There was a very bad boy in the school of the name of Ford. He had brought to school with him what all boys will at once know by the name of squirt gun. So they had squirt guns in 1809, which is amazing. That's the most amazing part of this to me.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Yeah. There was a hole behind the house, which is familiarly called the Clay Hole, where dirt had been procured to daub the chimney. And this is going to be his chance. That's his opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And whenever Ford could get out, he would slip to the clay hole and spend some time squirting the water about. At length, he discovered a little hole in the wall where some of the daubing had fallen out. And on peeping through this hole, he saw that Father Taylor had his head within 6 inches of the wall. To conceive of the project of squirting some water into the old man's ear and to start for the hole required not a moment. And hurrying back, he discharged the entire contents of his guns exactly where he wanted it. Ford, being a little excited, threw water with great suddenness and force. The old man leaped from his seat and shouted, "Heavens and earth, what was that? Who did that? I'll catch the scoundrel, so I will."
Right. So
and
he's
this
just...
is the all-powerful part.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So out he dashed, and away went Ford, and the whole school followed, laughing and yelling as if they were crazy. But the race was short, for Ford was soon out of sight. The old man returned, but he certainly lacked. Yeah, he just ran away from school.
Yeah.
No big deal. It's 1809. Who cares?
Yeah.
But he certainly lacked his usual good humor for the remainder of the day. It is unnecessary to add that Ford came back to school no more. Not
oh,
mandatory.
He never came back.
That was the last day for him. Squirt the teacher in the ear. You're not going to beat that. That's the pinnacle. You quit.
Well, he did go out on a high note there. I think it's interesting that as the teacher ran out, all the kids just jumped out in excitement and followed him to see what would happen.
Yeah, they wanted to see.
Yeah.
We've all been middle school, right? Fight, 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 fight. They want to see it.
They want to see him get in big trouble.
Absolutely. My fourth and last session, making in all 12 months, so that's 12 months of schooling for his entire career, if you're scoring along at home.
Right, okay, 3 months at a time.
Mm-hmm. Was a school taught by John Ford, not a relative of the miscreant just referred to. He was far superior to any teacher that had taught in the Grove. His education was good. He was a man of fine appearance. His school was very large, and for by this time, quite a neat and spacious schoolhouse had been built. So they're improving things as they go along, albeit it was made of logs, and the settlement comparatively strong in numbers. Here, I completed my education by learning to write. So that's the capstone course.
Mm-hmm.
Can you write?
Right.
You've learned the alphabet. Can you write?
You know, I think a lot of people picture this from a show called Little House on the Prairie, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they conducted their school every day, but they used the church. Did that happen a lot? Seems like it would if they had a church building.
It's interesting. They're pretty interested in having school buildings, even back then. And
okay.
You noticed, let's convert this corn crib, or let's build a new schoolhouse, mm-hmm. or that kind of thing. I know that Harrodsburg, for example, had a schoolhouse in it, and that's the very first settlement.
Right.
So they didn't really double dip that way, which...
Maybe they
I guess it would have made sense from one perspective. But,
yeah, it makes perfect sense to do that.
But they also valued the education a little bit more than this lets on, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
For a girl to study arithmetic, grammar, or geography was a thing never thought of. The two latter studies were scarcely known even among the boys. So we do educate girls. It's a little different, though, we can tell by that statement. The New Testament was the only reading book for schools that I ever heard of.
There you go.
And I studied the same spelling book that had served all the family before me. So well were books of that day bound or so well taken care of.
Right. And they were valuable things. They didn't...
Oh, yeah.
You know, they may not end up with another one if you don't take care of it.
A library is a really fancy thing back then.
You're right.
Today, you think of books as being in the way.
Yeah.
But they really, really valued them at that point in time. And then we see the real key... to everything in the 19th century. Most of my education was obtained at home. Here I learned to card and spin both cotton and wool and to weave in all the fashions of the day. So that's not a class that you take at tech school.
Right.
That's something that's done at home, and that's really where you're learning something you can use.
And he places it in that context that the real education that he would have needed to continue his life or to work were those skills.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the skill set that you need back then. I could lay out my patterns with various colored threads upon a stick and calculate how many cuts of each color I should want for a piece of cloth. That's pretty good math, by the way. Yeah, they're not learning a lot of math in that school.
Right.
But at home, if you've got to add all that stuff up right, or your shirt just doesn't look right.
Right, yeah, they're still using it.
Yeah. I learned to make shirting, sheeting, cotton for dresses, counterpanes, tablecloths, jean, linsey. These are all fabrics. Every other fabric that was used in the country. And as for knitting, I could do that in the dark as well as in daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And even when in full trot from place to place. Now, that's one of the things that captures my imagination about this one. You're going to be in a carriage, in a wagon.
Right.
Riding someplace, knitting a sweater.
Trying to knit.
Right. Multitasking.
Yeah.
Because travel's so slow.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And there's nothing else really to do.
No, and it could take weeks to get to destinations that were really far away. Going to like the East Coast, for example.
Right.
Coastal Virginia. This is back when Kentucky is part of Virginia.
Yeah.
That could take weeks and weeks and weeks one way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you spend that time. Then you come back and more weeks and weeks and weeks.
Right.
You're probably talking 4, 5, 6 week distance.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely something to do.
Yeah.
So outside of talking.
Yeah.
I guess. That's it.
Or, I mean, this is like the crossword or the iPad of the day, right?
Yeah, right.
I knew all about milking and making butter and cheese, washing, ironing, and bleaching. In short, was skilled in all the labors that pertain to early life in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an agricultural lifestyle. Now, Jason, we've got to pay a few bills because we don't live in an agricultural lifestyle anymore. We live in the modern era of mass communication.
Are we going to get like one silver dollar coin?
I sure hope so. That would be cool.
That would be kind of cool. We're not getting anything.
B.K. Warren, undertaker and dealer in furniture. A full and complete assortment of furniture, embracing everything from the cheapest to the finest parlor suites. No need to go to the large cities to make your purchases, no matter what quantity or quality you want. I can and will duplicate any prices you can obtain elsewhere, freight being added. Also, a full assortment of coffins, cases, shrouds, and robes, embracing all the styles, both cheap and expensive. Stanford, Kentucky.
Right. Okay.
1884.
This
it's the one-stop shop.
Yeah. Well, the guy's... He's got his coffins. Why wouldn't he have a coffee table at the same time?
I guess it makes sense,
it's
right?
Right. So
the theory is,
product.
If you can make a coffin, you can make a chest of drawers.
Yes, right. And he's not going to be selling that much. There's still just—it's a showroom.
Yeah. So you could come in there. You can. You could plan out every stage of life at this guy's store, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You go in there. You're getting married. You want to shop around for some furniture, and then you think, oh, well, I might as well do some estate planning while I'm here, and there's the perfect coffin.
Yeah, and if I drop dead before my furniture shows up, just put me in that one.
Perfect.
Yeah. So the undertaker, he was still something of an embalmer, right? He had to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, not just a seller of wooden products.
Yeah, I think this guy does it from start to finish.
Probably. Probably that's what he was. And he said, I need to sell some more things.
Yeah.
The death business isn't really that much.
Yeah, get into the life business. You're missing out on half your clientele, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
Or the barber or the dentist or whatever else they can be.
Yeah, he's just kind of double dipping a little bit. But Jason, for you... You're to the moment that you always dread.
Yeah, the takeaway.
The takeaway.
Hmm.
So out of all of the education from the turn of the 19th century that you learned about, what was your biggest thought?
Well, what I was thinking was just in those days, there would never not be any sort of educational system. You know, there wouldn't be a department of that. So you were kind of on your own in terms of finding someone to teach.
Yeah.
To get a teacher to even come to your community, and then you're paying it on your own. You might have a class with very few children, like this recounting tells. You know, it's like hit or miss on education in those times.
Yeah, that's right. If you're rich, you're going to have private tutors, and then you're eventually going to go to the colleges and things like that. But that's not for the regular population back then.
Right.
Back then, you go get a few of the three R's.
Yeah.
Reading, writing, arithmetic, and that's about it. That's all you need. It's back on to learning how to knit.
Right. And yeah, it's kind of an interesting way we look back at it. We probably look back at it, too, as saying, oh, well, that's too bad. You know, that's they were undereducated. But maybe at the time, for most of them, that was the appropriate level that they needed.
Maybe so. And
could like that, I'm sure they recognize that more
would
be good.
You have to survive.
Right.
You need something that will give you money.
Right.
Or value that you can trade in the market. And that's not also, it's not necessarily learning Greek or Latin, which was the big thing back then.
Yeah, I think that plays too into the Abraham Lincoln story that we all know and admire about how he sought out books. He sought out increasing in his education, going past where he kind of started out in life up to becoming a lawyer.
He got in trouble with his dad for that. His dad didn't understand it.
Right.
And that, I think, tells us a lot about that era.
Yeah.
We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear, Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return. You can download even more episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review or rate us. If you didn't like it, chances are you didn't spend 20 minutes on it in the first place. Special thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS. And the rest is history.